Brethren, today we stand at a vital crossroads in the annual rehearsal of God's master plan for mankind. Almost 48 hours ago, we observed the Passover, which represents the first step in reconciliation. And today we come together to observe the first day of unleavened bread, which represents the process of our sanctification. Brethren, over the next 7 days, we are called to remove leaven from our lives. But it's also important to remember that we are commanded to eat unleavened bread, which symbolizes the body of Christ. We don't just put out the old, we must put in the new. So today I want to focus on a singular verse which I think helps to express this symbolic nature of this holy day. So I want you to turn with me to John chapter 6 and verse 35. John 6 and verse 35. And while you're turning there, I'll set the context for this verse. Jesus is in Galilee. He's surrounded by a large crowd of people who had seen him the day before, and he miraculously fed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and a couple pieces of fish. But these people were still there gathered, and they were hungry, and they were ready for their next meal. And so the people were focused on this hunger that they had. But Jesus understood they had a hunger, but he wanted to give them something that would satisfy them, not just their physical selves, but their spiritual selves. So in John chapter 6, 35, we read Jesus here, and he says, "And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.'" Brethren, in this one verse, Christ defines the entire purpose of this holy day. He identifies who he is, what we must do, and the eternal promise that follows. So we're going to start with the first point. There's 3 points of this message, but the first point of this verse is that Jesus is the bread of life, and he sustains us. And just imagine for a moment Jesus standing there above these thousands of people, hungry for sustenance. And with authority, Jesus looks at him and he says, "I am the bread of life." In order to understand the gravity of this statement, we must look through the lens of the Exodus. And when the children of Israel, we all remember the story, when the children of Israel were released from bondage, they left in haste. They carried their kneading bowls on their shoulders. And inside those bowls was dough that had no leaven. This unleavened bread marked the urgent separation from the world they were leaving behind. And as the Passover night gave way to days of unleavened bread, God began teaching them a deeper lesson. At first, the children of Israel relied on that bread they carried out of Egypt. But this bread didn't sustain them for long. It didn't last long. They quickly found themselves in the wilderness with no visible source to sustain them. They had no way of sustaining themselves. And it was there beyond Egypt, beyond their capacity, that a far more important question emerged for them. Who would sustain them once their bread was gone? Well, brethren, we know how the story goes. We know that it was God who sustained them in the wilderness. It was God they came to know is by the name of the I Am. And so when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," he's not merely borrowing an image or imagery from the Exodus or using a metaphor. He is identifying himself as the one who sustained them, the I Am. And the same divine presence that led them out of Egypt and provided the manna in the wilderness. He is declaring that he alone is the true source of all creation. And so during this first day of unleavened bread, we're not just looking back at a historical event. When we take unleavened bread these next 7 days, we are acknowledging that we rely on Christ for our spiritual sustenance, just like they did. Brethren, like the children of Israel, when we accepted Christ, we made a choice to leave Egypt. We made a choice to follow Christ and leave the ways of this world behind. And just like them, we find ourselves wandering in the wilderness, sojourners heading towards the promised land, relying on the I Am to sustain us. Brethren, Jesus is the Word made flesh. And on this first day of unleavened bread, we are making a choice here and now. We are taking in that word. Jesus Christ is the bread of life and the only source that can truly sustain us as we journey through this wilderness. And so let us continue to dig deeper in John 6:35. Right after Jesus identifies himself as the source of life, he continues by saying, he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Brethren, the command for this holy day is twofold. First, we put away the leaven. Second, we eat unleavened bread. These two commands mirror the two requirements given by Jesus in John 6:35, which provides us the second point of this message today. And that is, we must come and we must believe. We must come and we must believe. Coming to Christ requires leaving something else. When the Israelites came to the Red Sea, they had to turn their backs on Egypt. And they had to turn their backs on the comforts of Egypt, the habits they had, the security of their old lives. In a spiritual sense, coming to Christ is a daily decision to walk away from the perceived comforts of this world that we know is held captive. This is not a one-time event that happens at baptism for us. It is a movement of our wills that must occur every morning of every day. Just as we must choose to physically pick up a piece of unleavened bread and eat it during this 7 days, we must choose to come to Christ through study, through prayer, and through meditation every day. And if we do not actively come to the bread of life, we will naturally find ourselves starving in the wilderness of this world. And to believe in the bread of life is more than just a decision we make at baptism. It is an act of total reliance upon the one who sustains us. Brethren, in physics, there is something called the law of displacement. When you put something in, something else has to come out. In a spiritual sense, it is this principle that we see at work for these 7 days, and indeed for the rest of our lives. You cannot simply empty your life of sin and then leave a vacuum. If we only focus on what we are avoiding, we will remain spiritually empty. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22 for our second scripture. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. And the Apostle Paul here describes this process of replacement. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. Paul says in Ephesians 4, 22, he says, put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This is the essence and true meaning of the days of unleavened bread. We must put off the leaven or the conduct of the old man, that is to say, who we were before we gave our life to Christ, and we must put on or replace it with the new man created according to God. When we believe in Christ, when we rely on his nature, when we walk in his footsteps, we are filling that void with his righteousness. And in doing so, we are putting on the new man. This is why we are commanded to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. We're not just leaving a void, we are putting in the nature of Christ. To believe in him is to trust that his way of life is the only thing that can truly satisfy the void in our hearts and minds. And this brings me to the third and final point of the message. In John 6:35, Jesus concludes this verse with a remarkable promise. Those who come and believe will never hunger or thirst. This is the result of our active participation. And the last point of the message, which is, we shall never hunger and we shall never thirst. Brethren, in a world that is spiritually starving, Christ offers satisfaction that is permanent. When we internalize his word, when we fervently pray and communicate with our Father, when we meditate on the truth, we find that hunger and thirst for the things of the world begin to fade. We become connected to him through the Holy Spirit. We replace the temporary satisfaction of this world with an eternal satisfaction found only in him. Let's turn to our final scripture here. John chapter 15 and verse 4. John chapter 15 and verse 4. Let's consider what Christ teaches us about staying connected to him. John chapter 15 and verse 4. Jesus tells us in John 15 verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Brother, that's a powerful statement reminding us that we must stay connected to Christ, especially if we expect to grow and bear fruit. Brethren, a branch that abides in the vine never hungers or thirsts because it is directly connected and receiving nutrients from the vine. That is to say, it is receiving the Holy Spirit that nourishes us with the truth. And when we internalize his word and we truly abide in him, we find that the appetite for the things of this world begin to fade. And so, brethren, as we conclude this message, let us consider the meaning of every piece of unleavened bread we eat today and for the next 7 days. Let us be reminded of the profound truth it represents. By partaking of the bread for the 7 days, we are making a private and public declaration that he is the bread of life that sustains us, that we must come to him and believe, and that by doing so, we shall never hunger and we shall never thirst. This world is starving for truth, for peace, and for sincerity. And we have been given the true bread of life. Let us feast upon it with joy, knowing that this journey leads directly to the promised land and the kingdom of God.